Yes, it is tax season. It's that time of year when you at least hope to get back a nice piece of that money you've given to the government interest-free over the past year. And I know there's been a lot of political speak about taxes, which probably has led you to believe that your refund will be a nice one, a massive one even. Was that an automatic, or is some of that responsibility on you to make that happen? Are you fully aware of the changes, many changes in filing this year? And how about the changes in just getting your refund? If you are one of those, well, we're going to slow things down a little bit, take a look at this with the help of my next guest. She is a co-partner with the tax firm Prager Meddes, where she works out of their Cranberry, New Jersey offices. Robin Caruso, how are you today, Robin?
I'm doing great. How are you, Chris?
Well, it's good
thank
to have you.
Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for being here to help people understand the quite a few changes. And when you hear a lot of the politicizing of them and not every promise ever came to pass, but there are some good things and some things to pay attention to. But let's get to some of the basics. As far as the bare bones of filing and deductions, what are some of the changes with personal deductions? Because I know, for example, seniors 65 and older have a special bonus this year.
Yes, there's a new senior deduction. It's a $6,000 deduction available for eligible taxpayers that have reached the age 65. They need to have a Social Security number. This is good for 2025 all the way through 2028, so it's a temporary provision. And if somebody's married filing joint, they must file married filing joint to avail themselves of this. But the good news is it's available for each qualifying individual. So if you have spouses, they can each take the $6,000 deduction if their modified adjusted gross income is $150,000 married or $75,000 for others.
A lot of people are in the service industry. We always hear that significantly with the periodical employment reports. And we've also equally been hearing frequently about no taxes on tips and overtime. Has that come to pass, and to what degree does it affect people who can file with those and focus on those deductions?
Yeah, these are some great new deductions for people who do qualify. The tip deduction is for qualified cash tips. So those are voluntary tips that have been reported on credit cards and tip sharing. They both count also. So anything that could be reported on an information statement like a W-2 or a 1099 will be helpful. This is for up to $25,000, and again, it's also for 25 through 28. And similarly, if you're married filing joint, you have to file married filing joint. A lot of people don't realize that, so that's why I'd like to mention that. And again, it's up to $25,000 for both on this one. And the phase outs begin at $150 for a single person and $300 for married filing joint. We have some issues this year because the employers haven't had time to get up to speed on the reporting that they need to do. So there are special notices and information that the IRS has out and FAQs that you can Google on to get more information or speak to a taxpayer that's experienced with this. I think people will need some help. For the qualified overtime deduction, that's $12,500, and it's similar to the other, what I've said. The biggest difference with that one is if people misunderstand it, they think all of their overtime pay will count towards that $12,500, but it's only the one half of the 1.5% you got for your overtime that will actually qualify.
So those deductions sound like you really have to make sure they're verifiable, and you need to be careful and detail as much as possible, because it sounds to me like if you are a bit lackadaisical with these deductions, you might get red flagged for an audit. Would that be a fair statement?
Yes, it would definitely be a fair statement. What I always recommend that taxpayers do is gather up all of their tax documents, take a look at what they filed in the prior year, make sure they're filing complete and accurate returns. If you don't have all the information you need, prepare a tax projection and make sure that you file a timely tax extension and pay what you believe you owe so that you could avoid late filing penalties. They can accumulate up to 25% on you. So that's really rough. So filing a timely return or tax extension is important. And an interesting thing is to add is that not all states conform to federal tax law. So you have to really be careful to understand what's happening in your state, what's going on in New Jersey. We have our own rules. So things like the tips deduction, that's not for New Jersey, that's for federal. The qualified overtime comp, it's not New Jersey. Again, it's federal. So we want to make sure we understand what's happening in our states as well. And when we file an extension and pay, in New Jersey, for instance, you have to pay at least 80% with your extension for that extension to be considered valid by the state. So if you miss filing and paying either the return or the extension in New Jersey, you're going to find yourself with failure to file penalties that start at the April deadline. So very important to file. And then, like I said, filing correctly, you mentioned, if you're not filing correctly, you can trigger a tax audit. There are all kinds of penalties that can be assessed for negligence or understatement of income or overstating expenses. So we just want to be careful. We have everything on there. Everything's tied down, and we're not making any mistakes. And if we do, we may get a matching notice. It could be simple, small dollars. Maybe the IRS is right. The biggest thing to do if you get a notice is just read it really carefully. Make sure you understand what you need to do, that you're responding timely or taking advantage of your appeals rights if necessary. So, again, you may want to speak to a professional if you think you need that kind of assistance. So for higher dollars or more complex issues, I would say contact a qualified tax professional.
Such as you would find with Pergametis. We were talking with Robin Caruso, co-partner with the tax firm Pergametis. She works out of their Cranberry, New Jersey offices. You can find out all their locations and services at Pergametis.com. We have that link at our website. And you are listening to Issues and Ideas. This one, for radio, we're based in New Jersey, but our podcast obviously goes everywhere. The SALT, which stands for State and Local Tax SALT deduction increase, that is going to be certainly a more valuable asset in filing in some states more than others. Again, what's the importance of attention to detail with the SALT tax?
With the SALT tax, they're offering a deduction now that used to be $10,000, but now it's up to $40,000, and that'll go through 29. So most taxpayers who itemize their deductions will be able to take higher deductions for all the state and local taxes. So that's our real estate taxes as well as our income taxes, things such as that. So it's going to be helpful for a lot of people. And I maybe should have mentioned on some of those other deductions for seniors and tips and qualified overtime, et cetera, those are good for people who itemize or take the standard deduction. So I think it's helpful to mention that. So either way, if you qualify for them, you don't have to itemize to take them. But to take the higher SALT deduction for state and local taxes, you do need to itemize your deductions.
I was going to ask, too, generally speaking, case by case is always going to be just that, but generally speaking, do these changes invite more people to itemize, in your opinion?
I think some people who qualify for the higher SALT deductions will be itemized, maybe itemizing this year, where otherwise they might not have been. So anybody paying substantial SALT taxes will find themselves in a better position itemizing by the time they add that to their charitable contributions and maybe some medical and other things that get added into that, they might be. And then one thing to point out with the state and local tax deduction, that while it was expanded, there also is a phase out for that. So once somebody hits a modified adjusted gross income of $500,000 or up, that starts to phase down at 30% for each dollar that they're over. And that's important to take into account. And the interesting thing with this particular deduction is that 500 threshold is for all tax filing statuses. Not usually there's out threshold for single versus married filing joint, but not with this one.
As well, too, we have to move along here. I want to get to another topic before we run out of time. But the child tax credit, that's increased. Also, what you can contribute to your 401k, IRA, HSA, that's all increased. You could find that in your tax filing information. But if you do your scorecard and you're going to get something back, Robin, what there's less ways to get it back now because with a rare exception, if you don't have, you really have to do your, getting a refund electronically. Now, paper checks are not completely eliminated, but you sort of really have to prove you really, that's the only way you can have it sent to you.
Absolutely. It's a great point. When you file your tax return, you want to ensure that you're including your direct deposit information. If you don't include direct deposit information, the IRS is going to hold up your refund or the processing of that return, possibly. They do. I might be mistaken when I say processing because they're accepting your return. They're not rejecting it. They're just not finalizing the return. They can't take your refund and apply it to next year or do anything else with it until you give this direct deposit information. And so taxpayers may receive a CP53 notice. If you get that, you want to read it carefully and respond right away. You could do that online through a taxpayer online account, which is another great thing to do. Set up an IRS online account. You can make payments. You could check for notices. You can your wage and income reporting so that you can file an accurate return.
So it's always a good – there's always options. And, again, like I said back in the introduction, there is some of the responsibility that falls on you as the taxpayer. It's not a totally automatic situation. And if you're one of those unbankable people, that's the official fiscal term, there are some not gift cards, but American Express cards, Visa, MasterCard cards that you can pick up at a Walmart that have the – a routing number as well as a way to do an electronic deposit on and load those cards through your IRS deposit, believe it or not. Not every one of them. You have to really check and sort through them, but there are ways, even if you are one of those unbankable people, that the checklist refund process that the IRS is encouraging will not be a hindrance to getting whatever refund you're getting back. And if you're looking at everything and saying, well, I have a lot more to do with my taxes this year than I've had in the past, and the attention to detail is really a priority now more than it's been in the past, then you should turn to Prager Metis because that's what they do. They help you, the taxpayer, make sure that not only do you get the best possible refund this year, but your tax planning long term, because as Robin said, some of what is now is going to be a temporary situation. So you'll either have to adjust later or prepare and make that adjustment a lot easier. So find out more about the services because they might just be a great asset to you that you haven't thought about and maybe are now in need of. PragerMetis.com is their website, and she is a co-partner with the tax firm Prager Metis, working out of the Cranberry, New Jersey offices. They have multiple locations, though. Robin Caruso, thank you so much for helping us put the priorities into place and getting better aware of what this tax season holds in store for us. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you so much, and wishing everybody a easy tax season.
Amen to that.